Glory to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the gospel of Christ. So we've been studying biblical discernment, and then we've seen quite a lot in this teaching. Hallelujah. But then we still have a lot to see. And we closed yesterday at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 21, that says to prove all things and to hold fast to that which is good. And I said yesterday that the only person that can be guaranteed of holding fast to that which is good is the man that is proving all things. Hallelujah. And then we saw also that the word prove or to test all things is the same word used at 1 John chapter 4. That's the word dokimazo, which means to scrutinize, to investigate, to test. It's the idea of examining what you are receiving. And the only alternative to that is to receive everything said hook, line, and sinker. I mean, hook, line, sinker, fisherman, boat, the river, the sea, anything, the boat itself and all. But you don't want to do that because that's a recipe for religious confusion. I welcome you to another episode of Every Day with Jesus podcast. This is episode 124. And then we've been studying the how and the why of discernment of working in discernment as a Christian, of working in discernment as a believer when it comes to receiving teachings and messages and the ministry from men. Hallelujah. So we stopped at 1 Thessalonians 5:21 to prove. So the truth of the matter is you cannot be said to be holding fast to that which is good if you are not proving what you are receiving. Praise God. And listen, there are many Christians today who obviously have never developed the culture of proving what they receive. Praise God. And that's how come they are not able to defend their faith. They can't defend the things they believe. They can't defend their belief systems. Hallelujah. You ask a man, why are you practicing this? He can't tell you any reason. He can't give you any reason. There's no scriptural basis for it. Never bother to find out. Never bother to ask. And it's a bad culture. It's a bad orientation. Praise God. It's a bad orientation. And that has to change. If you are listening to this podcast. If you are listening to this broadcast and then you've been struggling with the idea of discernment, you don't know if it's right to judge teachings and to judge preachers and what they say, and I want you to repent from today, and I want you to embrace the right culture from the scriptures. It is healthy, it is normal, it is expected of you to be discerning in your receiving of the ministries of men. Hallelujah. In receiving of men, you have to be discerning. It is encouraged in scriptures. We are instructed in scriptures to be discerning, towards receiving from men. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4, it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. It's so instructive. And it's so very, 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 precise. It's clear. There are no, two ways about it. Don't believe every spirit. Hallelujah. And the moment you start to examine the things you receive and begin to test the things you receive, you're going to find fault with some of the people you are receiving from. You're going to find fault with some of the things you are taught, and then you begin to object to those things, and then you begin to sieve out. Do you understand? And at that point in time, you know what? People will start saying you are critical. You are not receiving any, you are not just receiving, you are no more humble, you are no more, receiving with meekness and all that. See, receiving with meekness has to be us receiving the word of God. Hallelujah. When James says in James 1:21, receive with meekness the engrafted word, it says, which is able to save your souls. There are some sermons and words that are going to damn your souls. Like we saw at 2 Peter, they'll bring in damnable heresies, destructive heresies. So receiving with meekness will be receiving the word which is able to save your souls, not just any kind of sermon. Receiving every sermon in meekness is not wise, it's foolishness. You must learn to judge and discern the things you are receiving as a Christian. Glory to God. Let's go back to Acts 15. We'll spend a while in Acts 15 and then we'll go to Mark 7. Since yesterday, we're going to see how people discerned and people, discern the things they heard, and they judged the things they heard, and they didn't just, you know, receive those things, hook, line, and sinker, let there be peace, and, you know, all kinds of things. They actually proved the things that were said, and they tested those things, they scrutinized them to eventually, you know, hold on to that which is good. So we spend a good while in Acts 15 yesterday. In fact, most of our times in the teaching yesterday was in Acts 15. And then we're back there today. I want to show us a few things, and then we'll go to Mark 7. So at Acts 15 from verse 1, Bible says, "And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." Listen, certain men came down from Judea, and they began to teach the brethren. And that's the problem. Listen carefully. There will never be a reason for us to stand up and begin to refute, and begin to resist, and begin to reject certain things, and begin to, you know, scrutinize things, and begin to preach against certain errors in the body of Christ if there was no teaching ministry set up to dispense those errors. Hallelujah. That is, up until this point in time in Antioch, I'm sure that there were folks who had such perspectives about the law of Moses, who had such perspectives about, you know, legalism, a need for men to complement faith in Christ with their works in order to be saved. It's possible those things were there in their hearts as silent thoughts. And in the course of teaching, in the course of explaining the scriptures, those questions will be answered. But then, the problem came when there were folks who came to begin to teach. Hallelujah. Certain men came down from Judea. They didn't just have it as ideas and, you know, personal convictions in their hearts that would give way anyway as they received the truth of the word of God. They now began to teach the brethren. Praise God. And that's the problem. The major problem today is that there are folks who are teaching things they ought not to teach. Hallelujah. Look at Titus. Look at what Paul says at Titus. So the moment there's a teaching ministry in place, dispensing error, we cannot be passive about how we resist and reject and refuse and test and judge those things. There's already a teaching ministry in place. Hallelujah. Trying to impose and enforce those things on men. Titus chapter 2, look at this now. Titus chapter 2. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Titus in chapter 2. I'm meant to read from Titus 1. Sorry. Titus chapter 1. I'll read from verse 10. Bible says, "For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert all households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain." Have you seen? They are teaching things they ought not to teach. We'll be back at Titus 1 again in the course of this series. So they are teaching things they ought not to teach. Look at what Paul says. He says, "Whose mouth must be stopped?" Praise God. That is, you must learn to silence such men. You must learn to silence such ministries. You must learn to silence and disclaim those kind of teachings. Glory to God. They must not be given breathing space. Hallelujah. So the moment there's a teaching ministry in place, dispensing error, we cannot be passive in how we discern and judge those things. We must deliberately and intentionally and actively resist the things that are said. Hallelujah. So certain men came down to teach, and that was the problem. So Paul and Barnabas, upon hearing this, they began to refute those things. They began to, you know, stand up against those things. They began to resist those things. They began to reject those things. They began to prove those things, and they began to show people the right things. Praise God. So again, who were the category of people that seemed to be arguing at Acts 15? It seems like they were leaders. Certain men came down from Judea, and it means these guys actually had some reputation in the church. So they came down to teach the brethren. They had such authority to teach. You know, Paul and Barnabas didn't say, "Who gave you the right to teach?" That was not it. They just began to deliberate and began to discuss and began to argue about these things. And then they now went, you know, for you to know that those guys were not of any mean reputation in the church, they had to take the matter to Jerusalem. Paul could not just silence them and stop them. They had to go and consult other apostles in Jerusalem. That means those guys were not just, you know, so those guys had a kind of reputation in the church. For the disciples to have even listened to them, teach them, and, you know, submit to their teaching. Hallelujah. So Paul and Barnabas stood up against them. So you see elders and leaders and teachers in the early church having disputes, dissension. Imagine you walking into a pastor's conference or a pastor's meeting or a leadership meeting in your church, and you see pastors disputing over doctrine. You see pastors disagreeing over doctrinal positions, and why this one is saying this, another person is saying that, another person objecting, another person is showing a scripture from Genesis that contradicts what the person is saying about a scripture in Malachi, and then somebody says, no, look at Ezekiel, look at how Ezekiel presents it, look at Isaiah, look at Jeremiah, you see the consistency, and then it brings you to the Pauline letters. I mean, that, imagine entering into a meeting like that, how would you feel? Praise God. Wouldn't you feel that, these guys, why are pastors arguing? For God's sake, have you ever heard believers or Christians who say, God's word is not to be debated. God's word is not to be debated. God's word is not to be argued. God's word is meant to be taught and preached and things like that. It's funny. God's word is to be taught, to be preached, to be debated when necessary. Hallelujah. God's word is to be debated when necessary. When there's a need for us to argue out scriptures, We are to be found doing it diligently. Praise God. And I showed you yesterday that the dissension, which is the word strife, is not coming from those who stand for the truth. The dissension, the strife, the opposition, the division is coming from men who are preaching against the truth. Praise God. That is, if those men were not preaching what they were preaching, there would be no division. That's what we mean. And I showed you yesterday, I just opposed this particular event with 1 Timothy chapter 6, what Paul said. I hope you know that Paul is teaching from experience. What he said, the instruction he gave at 1 Timothy 6, and what he said about those kind of men is from experience. 1 Timothy and chapter 6, let me show you again. 1 Timothy chapter 6, glory to God. The division and the dissension, the argument, the strife comes from men who oppose the truth of the word of God. So if we believe that 2 plus 2 is 4, and we all believe this, and somebody comes to say 2 plus 2 is 8, and then we begin to argue and begin to show facts, the reason why there's an argument is because of the person that came to say 2 plus 2 is 8. Are you aware? So that it's that simple. There will be no division if we are all saying the same thing, saying the truth, and we are consistent with scriptures. The division arises as a result of men opposing the truth of the word of God. So you are not meant to see men who preach the word and judge and discern and test everything from scriptures, and they present the truth on the Bible, as troublemakers. The real troublemakers are the people who raise opposition against the truth of the gospel. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at this now. I showed you this yesterday, but let's see it again. 1 Timothy 6 from verse 3. Bible says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes. Who is obsessed with disputes? The man that does not consent to the wholesome words, even the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the guy that is obsessed with disputes. Not just disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions. It is from such kind of communication, it is from such oppositions that we have envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings. He says, of men of corrupt mind and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means for gain. Have you seen? So the strife, the evil suspicion, the argument, the dispute, comes from men who oppose the truth of the word of God. So it's not out of place to find leaders, church leaders, pastors, ministers. It's not out of place to find them disagreeing over doctrine. It's not out of place to find them disputing over doctrine. It's not out of place to look at them and you feel like they are in strife. Praise God. There's strife. They are striving. There's dispute. There's disagreement. It's not out of place. Praise God. It's not out of place. And I said yesterday, what you should be on the lookout for is who exactly is saying the truth. Pay attention to what they are saying. Pay attention to how they are submitting their claims. Pay attention to their conclusions. Pay attention to how they are using scriptures. For example, when you notice people debating or, discussing the tithe, about tithe in the body of Christ, tithe and then offerings and all that, you shouldn't just say, let's not argue. It's not right. You should pay attention to what they are saying and find out who is really saying the truth. Praise God. Because most times in those arguments, there will be a party that is for the truth. There will be a party that is against the truth. Paul says, we are not as many who corrupt the word of God. There are many who corrupt the word of God, and there are those who are for the word of God. Paul says we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Hallelujah. So it is wise to just pay attention to what they are saying, weigh the, you know, the weigh their opinions in the light of scriptures, and find out who is saying the truth. Glory be to God. So I thought to show us this from Acts 15. So let's go to Mark 7. Let's see another classic place where Jesus discerned the words of men, where Jesus did not just receive what they were saying, hook, line, and sinker, and he corrected, you know, their position. Mark 7. And I want you to pay attention to this particular, you know, chapter as we go through it. Mark 7, I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. You see, I've always wondered why Jesus did not support hygiene. You know, but this was not about being hygienic. This was not about washing your hand before you eat. He says they wash their hand in a special way. Praise God. So it was not about just trying to, you know, be clean. This is not about hygiene. This was about a ceremonial culture. Hallelujah. A ceremonial custom. So, look at this now. They found fault, verse 3. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. So there's the tradition of the elders. Hold that, and let's move on. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and there are many other things which they have received and owed, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Now, notice that what they were preaching and advocating here was not even the doctrine of the Old Testament. This was about the tradition of the elders. Bible says they had developed many traditions, washing of coppers, you know, pitchers and copper vessels, couches and cups and all that, and washing their hands in a special way before they eat and all that. Those were traditions of the elders. And they had the guts to be asking Jesus, why don't your disciples follow the tradition of the elders? They had the guts and the effrontery to say that. Hallelujah. And then Jesus looked at them and said, you know, Jesus didn't say, that's true. The elders, really. Disciples, let's honor the fathers and the elders. You know what he said? He says, he answered and said to them, verse 6, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites? As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And I said yesterday, the reason why there will always be a constant friction, a constant, you know, striving, the reason why it will seem as though the church will never be free of strife, division, disputes, argument, is because there is truth and there's error, there is light and there's darkness, there's the truth of the word of God, and there are the traditions of men. So Jesus is saying, see, you guys, Isaiah prophesied about you, you guys are hypocrites. Your heart is far from me, but your lips is close. You worship me in vain because you are teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Imagine what the commandments and the traditions of men can do. To a man. Imagine what it can do to you. It will lead to false worship. It will lead to worshiping God in vain. Hallelujah. And don't be thinking just about the Jews. There are many believers today, many Christians, church people, who are serving God in vain. Praise God. You know, because until you serve God according to his word, you can't serve him appropriately. Listen to this. Let me quickly give you a scripture for that. Romans chapter 12 in verse 1. Bible says, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God, in view of the mercies of God. Everything Paul had been talking about in Romans, the goodness of God as revealed in salvation, the grace of God by which you have been saved. I beseech you in view of these mercies, present yourself to God as a living sacrifice, only acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That is, you are going to serve God as you present yourself to him in the light of the things you have known about his mercies, in the light of the things you have learned concerning the mercy of God. So verse 2 of Romans 12 now says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You cannot serve God perfectly and acceptably without the knowledge of his word. Praise God. Without the knowledge of his word. That's why Jesus said to Mary and Martha, he says, Martha, you are encumbered by many things. Martha was trying to serve. He was trying to attend to Jesus. He says, you are encumbered, you are distracted by many things. Mary has chosen that path. One thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that path which no one will be able to take away from her. You see, knowledge of the word of God is essential to serve God. Hallelujah. You can't serve the person you don't know. You must know what he wants. You must know how he wants to be saved. You must know what he approves. You must know his will. You must be able to prove and find out his will from scriptures. That is the only way you'll be able to serve him acceptably. Hallelujah. So, unsound doctrine or unhealthy doctrine, false teaching, produces vain worship. This is what Jesus is saying here. Look at verse 8. So, it's such a big deal, or verse 7 rather. So, it's such a big deal what we teach and what we say and what we receive, what we believe. Hallelujah. Someone rightly said, wrong believing leads to wrong practice, wrong living, wrong attitude, wrong actions, which is true. Right believing leads to right living. So it matters what we believe. It matters what we receive from men. It matters what we believe. Glory to God. So Jesus says, in vain you worship me because you are teaching. Because you are teaching as doctrines the commandment of men. Look at verse 8. For laying aside the commandment of God, you owe the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other things you do. I hope you know that up until this time, all that Jesus was talking about as the commandment of God, as the commandment of God, as the doctrine of God, is from the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Jesus wasn't referring to his own teachings. He was referring to what Moses commanded them. That's why he goes to verse 9 and he said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he will curse his father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban, that is a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through the tradition which you have handed down and many such things you do. Imagine what the traditions of men can do. It will make the word of God of no effect in your life. That is why it is such a big deal to test and to prove what is said. Hallelujah. There are many Christians today who are not serving God acceptably because of the kind of teachings they are receiving. God's word has been made of no effect in their lives. God's word has been made of no impact in their lives because what they are listening and yielding to are the traditions of men. Glory to God. So Jesus was talking about what Moses told them. So the Pharisees and the elders in Israel had come about, you know, diverse traditions and rules and laws and commandments apart from the things that Moses instructed them. Praise God. And that was what they were teaching folks in Israel at that point in time. Now, what was Jesus' attitude? You know, most times people will say, don't correct other people's, you know, members. Just focus on your own church. I don't understand this. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. While I won't come to anybody's local church to begin to try to set things right, I am under mandate to dispense the truth of God's word on every platform, whether it's on social media, whether it's on my streets, whether it's through print media. I'm under mandate, I've been instructed, I've been authorized to preach the gospel. So if a member of a local church that is not being fed the truth of the word of God comes across my teachings or comes across my wall, comes across my status on WhatsApp where I'm dispensing the truth of God's word and he begins to see things differently from scriptures, then, I mean, I've done nothing wrong. I've only helped the brother. Hallelujah. So at this point in time, this was what they were teaching in Israel. They were about to impose it on Jesus' disciples. Guess what Jesus said? Hallelujah. Look at what Jesus said. By the time Jesus corrected them, look at verse 14. When he had called all the multitude to himself, not just his disciples, the multitude, he called them. Come, you guys, just come. Come and listen to this. He said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, these are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you notice that Jesus' approach is not that of being passive and indifferent? They have said their own, you know, let me say it stylishly. Let me not say it in a way that it will appear that I'm talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the elders in Israel. Let me say it in a way that they won't be able to link what I'm saying to what they just came to say, you know, what they just came to say. That was not his approach. He was so direct. Hallelujah. It was so direct. It was clear he was attacking their doctrine of having to wash your hand in a special way so you don't defy yourself. He said, see, listen, nothing that enters a man defies a man. Hallelujah. He was disclaiming their teaching. Look at verse 17. So when he had entered the house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? So you see that there's a difference between the disciples and the multitudes. So Jesus disclaimed that teaching publicly. He told all the guys that were around. And when disciples now came with, to the house with him separately, they now began to ask him more questions about it. They still saw it like parable. Nothing that enters a man. So he says, are you guys without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Verse 19, because it does not enter his heart but his stomach and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. Praise God. All foods. And he said to them, what comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of man or men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. That is, Jesus had to set the record straight. It is not about what you put in you, which was what the Pharisees were teaching. That was the doctrine and the tradition of the Pharisees. So Jesus is teaching something directly opposite. Jesus is showing them the right way to view matters. He didn't shy away from it. He wasn't trying to be politically correct. He didn't say, well, that's what they have said. Don't let's judge their words. He judged and discerned their words. He proved it to be false. And then he showed them the right perspective based on the word of God. Hallelujah. That's exactly how Jesus did it. Glory to God. So it is not out of place. And you know what this did for the disciples was to let them see the error and the danger and the consequence of receiving the doctrine of the Pharisees. Praise God. To let them see the danger of receiving that doctrine and to open their understanding to see the right way to view it. This is the truth. It is what proceeds from our hearts that would defile us. So at that point in time, Jesus has taken their attention off washing their hands to renewing their minds. Praise God. Which is the critical issue. Hallelujah. It is about dealing with your mind, with your heart. It's about the state of your mind. It's not about whatever comes from the outside. Glory to God. Now listen carefully. When we take a passive approach towards discerning and judging and scrutinizing the words of men, we're going to prevent men from seeing the truth, from seeing the light of the word of God. Imagine if Jesus had kept quiet in this place. Just imagine for a moment that Jesus didn't say anything. He just said, oh, okay, tradition of the elders. Oh, okay, we're sorry. And then he just, for the sake of peace, he just says, I'm sorry, and then he goes his way. What do you think will have happened? The disciples would have been ignorant still. They will have known nothing about, the more important matter of the earth, the state of the earth. It will have been unclear to them that, all foods have been purified and it is what comes from within that defiles a man. Even you and I wouldn't have known that truth today. Imagine, we wouldn't have this kind of scripture to be reading today to know from scriptures that, all foods have been purified. Do you know that Paul was making reference to being persuaded of the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean of itself? I have no doubt that he must have heard that teaching from, other apostles, and he must have received that as an oral tradition in those days. Oral tradition, that is, they passed on doctrine from mouth to mouth and all that. I'm not sure Jesus had a particular or special session with Paul where he was showing him that certain foods were unclean and all that. I mean, that's just my opinion. So, but he says, I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus. Look at this now. Romans chapter 14. Glory to God. So I feel that was him alluding to what he must have heard as a common belief, a common mindset or knowledge that had been handed over to the apostles by Christ himself. Look at Romans chapter 14. Glory to God. Look at this carefully. Romans in chapter 14. Hallelujah. I'll read from verse 14. It says, I know and I'm convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. That is, nothing is unclean. This is exactly what Jesus was teaching at Mark 7. Praise God. Jesus clarified it. He set the record straight. When we don't do this, we are going to prevent men from seeing the truth. And we are going to give room for, mixtures. Men will believe all kinds of things. Men will just be confused. So Jesus had to set the record straight. The second thing I want to draw your attention to at Mark 7 is that what they said What they were preaching and they were teaching as the truth, as doctrine, as commandment, they referred to it as the tradition of the elders. So that means whatever they were preaching actually wasn't what they came up with. They also met it by way of tradition. It was handed down to them. So to dishonor that tradition was to dishonor the elders. Hallelujah. The fathers in those days. Those that came up with those things. So, and you know, Jesus could have been cornered by that phrase, tradition of the elders. Jesus said, elders. No, but you see, if it is not the truth, no matter how long it's been in vogue, in tradition, no matter how long it's been around, no matter how popular it's been, if it is not the truth, it is not the truth. Hallelujah. If it is not the truth, it is not the truth. So Jesus stood against it. He opposed it. In spite of the fact that those who came about or those who came up with those traditions, you know, lived way before him, you know, with respect to his earthly life, they had lived before him. The tradition was before he was born into the world. Jesus refuted it. Jesus disclaimed it. Jesus taught against it. Hallelujah. Because if it is not the word of God, then it is not the truth. Praise God. So in this matter of discerning and judging things, there are no sacred cows. I'll say that again. In this matter of discerning and judging things, there are no sacred cows. In this matter of judging and scrutinizing and testing words, there is nobody that is untouchable. I'm talking about their message now. There's nobody's teaching, there's nobody's sermon that is untouchable. There's nobody's sermon that is beyond critique. Hallelujah. We are very, very free and we are, you know, well within our rights to judge and test everything and anyone. Don't let anybody shut you up or silence you with a big name. Hallelujah. The moment you hear a big name, you start panicking. It's not about the name. It's not about the person. It's about the message. And if the spirit at work in the message is not the spirit of God, we have every right to refuse and to reject and to avoid such men. Praise God. And to avoid such teachings. So we'll continue from here in the next episode. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Invite your friends, relatives, colleagues, classmates, anyone at all. Put on your social media handles and talk about it, chat about it. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of prayer, spiritual songs, full of faith, full of power. And don't forget to be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.